Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Do you use a trademark? Hey, Katie, there's this common thing. You know, I go to these entrepreneurial workshops. I teach a lot of entrepreneurs, and everybody has a joke when somebody says something brilliant. They're like, oh, put a TM on that. Better TM that. And of course, what they're referring to is the trademark symbol. And if you're not familiar with IP law, you know, you think, oh, sweet. Hey, it's like the Wild West, where back in the Wild West, you saw a property, you put your claim down, your stake a claim, and all of a sudden that was your property. But it's not quite the same way. So Katie, we're going to talk about this. How much do you think the average person can get confused by this?
Oh, quite a bit. Yeah, most of the time when I talk to entrepreneurs about this, right? They maybe have some understanding of it, but I think they don't know the full picture. And they, a lot of times, they don't know what the difference is between a TM and a registered trademark. So yeah, there could be a big educational gap there.
I mean, I was confused for years. Anytime I'm confused on something, I joke, I say, I write a book on it. But if I can't write a book on this exact topic, what I do is I basically make a chart. And Katie, I'm going to share this chart here, but I do this a lot. And so I woke up this Sunday, and I wrote this out. But we're going to go through seven C's of IP marking. So first of all, again, folks, we're going to go fast today. You're going to get a lot of good info here at once, but IP marking. So Katie, just explain why you mark your IP.
Yeah. So I'd say this isn't legal advice, what we're going to talk about, but if you put a TM after your trademark phrase or name, mm-hmm. then that puts people on notice that you mm-hmm. might have rights in it at that yeah. time by using yeah. a TM.
So you mark a patent with a number, you mark a registered trademark with an R with a circle around it. You can mark a copyright, registered or unregistered, with a C around it. And you mark a unregistered trademark with a TM. Now, you can already see, folks, as we're saying this, there's going to be a problem. Part of the problem is I don't know everyone on the planet's computer to be able to see, did they TM it or did I TM it first? So let's just take our book name in the top corner. You Are an IP Company. Katie, I've registered a trademark for that. Like, so I literally could put a TM on that, and it might tell the world, hey, this dude's got a thing that he just filed. But, and this is part of the problem with TMs, but I could have also put a TM on it and done nothing. And who knows if the person down the road put a TM on You Are an IP Company 2 weeks before me. Mm-hmm. And because there's no timestamp in a court of law, who is right? And it's difficult. Don't you think that adds to the complexity that there's no traceable time that the average person puts a TM, because it's a keyword shortcut that anybody can do it? And that's part of the issue.
Right. Because a lot of it comes down to record keeping, right? Mm-hmm. And so you need to be able to show, well, here's my first use in commerce of that TM, to be able to get, you know, superseding rights over somebody who maybe has filed a registered trademark or another, or has TM'd it as well. So you have to kind of make sure you have proof of use in commerce.
I like what you're saying.
That predates this other party, right? And I think yes. that's where there can be a big gap, because, you know, mm. we might not have the records of those internal emails when we first started, or we might have thrown out, you know, some of our marketing materials, or maybe the first use isn't for and doesn't correlate to the classes of goods and services we want it for, right? So it kind of becomes this logistical mess that can be hard to dig out. And I say this only because I've had a lot of clients who, you know, they've had their marks be opposed at the trademark office. And then we try and find evidence of predating this bigger company's mark. And it's very hard burden of proof.
I am so glad we're having this because later today I'm teaching on the IP lab, which, by the way, I want to encourage all of our listeners, if you want to be part of our community where I do coaching calls and training and you also get 5 credits a month, definitely check out the IP lab. You can find it if you go to instantip.today. And then if you click, what do you click? Oh, it's right there at the top, IP lab. Great, click it. But here's a question, Katie. You mentioned several things. You said in the right class. I just, you know, want people to know there are 45 different trademark classes. So that's one layer of complexity. And then the other thing you just said was in commerce. So is, I know we're not giving legal advice today, but is the coach entrepreneur who is making a slide deck and saying, oh, I'm going to TM that new phrase I came up with, does that count as commerce? Just a presentation on a slide deck. Like, is that even get subjective?
Oh,
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it gets messy based on, you know, the type of mark and where you're using it geographically. So there can be a lot of different layers to it as well.
Yeah. And I mean, what counts as commerce? Does commerce mean an email to your team?
Right.
I don't know.
So usually it means, you know, offering the goods or services for sale, right? Mm. So if it's just internal use of the mark, might be a little bit harder, but depends, you know, what classes of goods you're using it for. But so it can be something that I would strongly encourage people to speak to a lawyer about, because there's a lot of layers to it.
You can see how complex this gets. And here's my whole point. Katie, I gave this metaphor. I think it's a pretty cool one. We use oftentimes that your intellectual property is like a house and you don't want people to go in your house and steal things. So what do? You tell people, I have a dog inside. I have an alarm system. I have security cameras. You basically mark your property by saying it's protected. The problem with an unregistered TM symbol is that you go on vacation, you leave your house, you think there's a lock on the front door, but really there might not be because of all the things we just said. Were you there first? Can you prove it? Was it in commerce? You know, all the complexities we just said basically reveal that you might not have confidence. And here's an interesting thing, Katie. If I put a TM on a Coca-Cola symbol and then start marketing it, I could actually be guilty of infringement because I put a TM on someone else's registered trademark. You see what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, what you're talking about there would be, you know, the standard here would be if it's confusingly similar, right?
Yeah.
So if you try to register a mark or use a mark, right, and someone else has the mark registered already, if it's in the same class of goods or very similar classes of goods, then it could be confusingly similar to consumers to not be able to understand, okay, maybe the Coca-Cola Carrie's producing is different than the Coca-Cola.
Absolutely.
No, right.
Yeah. I'm pulling out here Strategic Coach because, you know, we're both familiar with them, but I know for a fact they care about their IP. But if I took this symbol and said, you know, Carrie Oberbrunner's Strategic Coach, and I use that mark and I put a TM on it and think, hey, I put a TM on it. It says Carry Overrunner Strategic Coach with those circles and everything. I'm actually inviting perhaps liability.
Right. You'd probably get a cease and desist letter pretty quickly.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think I'm not against Macs or PCs, but we've given people the power with the TM symbol to think that they have this magic, you know, blessing of just, oh, I TM anything and it's mine. And I'm safe. Kind of like my author this week who sent us their book and said, look at all these TMs I've done. And our team is trained on IP. And we said, hey, before we published that book, did you file a trademark? Oh, no, I didn't file a trademark. Well, you know, are you sure these are your own or did you explore them? Are they somebody else's IP?
Right.
Like there's all kinds of stuff that, again, a TM, I just want people to think it's not this weapon that you can just casually slap on and think, oh, I'm protected.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of like a first step in the process. Right. Yeah. And that's why I love a tool like Instant IP where you can get this timestamp and this
yes.
irrefutable blockchain yes. certified, right. evidence of first use of it.
Yeah, you're not having to go back and be like, oh, where's that email? Oh, wait, that wasn't
right. What time was it? What day was it? You have, you know, a timestamp certification of when you first used it.
Exactly. So I know we just wanted to broach the topic today, but Matthew McConaughey just, we chatted before we started today that he filed 7 or 8 trademarks. You know, all right, all right, all right. You know, he used that and his, and here's what I read, Katie. In fact, I'm going to show this. This is, I saved it. Yay. So two things. One, folks, get this article. Those are the 7 reasons. Okay. And it deals with claim, clarity, confidence, competitor, culpability, court, and capital. So that's all on that chart. And this is an article that you can find instantip.today/7-reasons. Or if you're like, I can't remember that, just go to instantip.today. Quick articles, and it's at the very top. But Katie, let's look at what Matthew McConaughey, do you know why he protected these?
Yeah, he wanted to guard against possible AI and deep fakes use of impersonating him in some kind of phrases he uses very frequently.
You nailed it. I knew, see, that's why Katie's smart right here. She actually nailed it. That's exactly why. To fight deep fakes and AI. So that's what we've been saying all along, Katie. AI is fast. Instant IP is faster. Idea protection at the speed of thought. But yeah, I think this is going to become a bigger thing now that mainstream celebrities are saying, yeah, my name, image, and likeness, which you and I have chatted about, filed a patent for that. My name, image, and likeness is IP too.
That's right. Exactly.
So folks, this is an ongoing conversation. We knew it was going to be a short one today, but again, Katie and I are scouring what's going on with headlines and we are bringing that to you, contextualizing it and helping you with your own IP. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.